Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode is on RSS, specifically the new test feed for Hacker Public Radio. Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and I've been working on getting a compliant RSS feed for Hacker Public Radio. We have a feed that is failing validation at the moment by the when it was generated. I don't think the 2.0 specification was ratified when we started using the feed, so I want to update that. But because there's 11 gigabytes of information sitting behind that feed, I don't want to do anything hasty with it. So I'm using this episode as an opportunity to ask you, the dear listener, to do some testing with us as a way to kind of give back for all the hours of entertainment or pain, depending on your point of view, which you've had via the Hacker Public Radio Network. All the links will be in the show notes, but they. Most
Thank you for
importantly,
listening to
will
Hacker Public
be
Radio.
a
HPR
XML
is
file that
sponsored
I
by
put together, which is
Caro.net,
the
so head
RSS
on over
feed,
to
which is going to test
caro.net
the
for all your
fields.
listening needs.
And what I'd like you to do is, in your podcatcher, which is the application that you're using to download the show, if you could put in hackerpublicradio.org/test.xml, which will give you a file. And what I propose to do today is basically walk through that file and explaining the various different sections of it and why I've chosen the fields that I've chosen there, and also why, of course, soliciting your feedback as to what should be changed. As many of you know who have given feedback already, that if you other people have ideas, well then those will be implemented as well. So, and this, of course, for anyone thinking of a HPR topic, this is an ideal topic because it's something that I've had to do anyway. And then I did some research on it, and there's an output. So now I'm making a podcast about it in the tradition of HPR. If you're doing something that might be of interest to hackers, record it because it'll make a good show. Well, I don't know if this one is going to be make a good show, but it'll make a show. Okay, if you want to know about a little bit about RSS, or better yet, RSS is nothing more than a format of XML, then there is a good site called w3schools.com, which are which run into various different tutorials on lots of different topics like HTML. And they start very simple and then they work their way down, and it's quite good actually. So if I read out there what XML stands for, first of all, XML stands for Extendable Markup Language, much like XML, but it's designed, or much like HTML, and it's designed to carry data. It is tags are not predefined; you can define your own, and XML is designed to be self-descriptive. In a nutshell, what all that means is text files are a good way for transferring information between one system and another. But the format that computers understand is can be difficult for humans to understand. So XML is that sort of halfway mark where you can create tags, which are things between square angle brackets, so a greater than sign and another greater than sign. Similar to what you see in HTML. And they're actually quite, they can be range from quite simple to very, very, very complicated. And you have other things like XSD files, which describe the various different tags and the formatting of them. But this show isn't about that. This show is about RSS, which is one particular brand of XML file. And the one that we're specifically interested in is the one that is going to be at hackerpublicradio.org/test.xml. Now, with XML files, you can have different formats. So you can design your own XML format, like two that I use at work, for instance, are ADI specification and a TV Anytime specification. They're both two specifications for describing video files. The specification of video ingest of video content into systems. So they have things like title, actor, author, and whatever. And to go along with those, you have a text file. So it's like a template that you dump in data. And then you have another file called an XSD, which describes what's allowed in each of the different fields. So it can be self-describing in that respect. Now we're going to go and we're going to examine another specification, which is the RSS specification, which, believe me, is a lot simpler. And an RSS file is nothing more than an XML file. So you start off your XML by declaring your file, by declaring what version it is. And let me just say at this point, if you're doing XML, if you're doing any text files, you're as well convert to UTF-8, which is a format that allows extended characters, foreign characters, left to right characters, and things like that. So your XML version, so use UTF-8. So the first line of this new feed has XML version 1.0, which, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure is correct, but because in the following line, we're going to use a thing called namespaces, which allows you to take certain components of other XML standards and plop them into your own. And that support was an addition to XML version 1, but I think the point is moot because XML, all the XML implementations can just support namespace anyway, so let's move on. Okay, the first line of our actual RSS, we have the XML line, the second line is RSS, space, and the version is equal to 2.0, and that version is, you know, just tells the reader that this is a version 2.0. and then we define our namespaces, so our XML NS is double colon atom, so anytime that we have a tag with XML colon NS atom, that will mean that we're going to be not using the namespace from this standard, we're going to be using it from the other one that we're going to refer to. So for example, if you had two namespaces like namespace foo and namespace bar, and both of them had the tag called, title, and you wanted to make a differentiation between both of them, you would say in your XML file, you would say foo colon title equals this, and bar colon titles equals something else. So it allows you to differentiate the two. Kind of think I'm losing people anyway. But anyway, stay with me. Stay with me, please. Here we go. Here we go. The first element, element is channel. So we have required elements. Required channel elements. So within the RSS we have a section called channel, so we have an opening bracket, and then at the bottom we have the very last line of the file is /RSS to close the RSS part, and the next second last line is /channel to close the channel part. So anything you open you have to close, just so you know that. So I'm not going to labor the point, but you can figure that out through the course of this, that any element or that we have open, that has to be closed. So the first element, and an element is something between a square bracket, an opening angle bracket and a closed angle bracket, is called the title. And in the specification it says, the description, the name of the channel, it's how the people refer to your service. If you have an XHTML website that contains the same information as your RSS file, then the title of your channel should be the same as the title of your website. So, therefore, we used in the new RSS feed, and indeed in the old one, the title is Hacker Public Radio. The next required element is link, and that is a URL to the HTML website corresponding to the channel, which in our case, we're going to point to hackerpublicradio.org/about.php. I thought, well, if somebody's going to link to that and they press the URL rather than going to the Hacker Public Radio main site, which is nothing more than the HTMLized version of the XML feed, why not redirect them to the About page, which is has more detailed description about who we are and what we want. Freeze and bees, when do we want it? Now. Now, and the next line in the new file is the Atom link, which is taking the link reference, and remember what I was telling you before about having two elements of the same name. One is link, which specifies it's coming from this RSS version 2 specification, and the next one is Atom colon link, which means that the specification for this one is coming from the Atom specification, which has been declared in the second line. I don't know if you're following me. Bear with me. You're doing well. Let's go. All right. And that has a specification which requires a href and a rel section, which is self, and the type application RSS plus HTML. And the whole point of that is, the reason I put that in there is because it's a recommendation by the RSS advisory board. And what they have done is they've gone out and tested a lot of HTML feeds and have given recommendations. And their recommendation is that you can identify an RSS feed, can identify its own URL using an Atom link element within the channel. This link must have a rel attribute of self and a hrel containing the feed's URL, and may have an attribute type of application RSS plus HTML. So what I did was I popped that in there just to make it compliant. The link to this will also be in the show notes and makes very, very interesting reading if XML is your thing. And as it's turning out, I think everybody is beginning to realize that it is my thing, sad though that may be. And then we go on to the next one, which is another element, but in this case, we're going to be using the iTunes namespace. And we're going to be using the iTunes subtitle. So what they have done is they have defined additional namespaces. So to have a valid iTunes feed, you're going to need title, link, copyright, and pub date, which all come from the RSS 2 specification. But of course, they've gone ahead and created their own author, their own block, their own category, their own image, their own duration, explicit keywords, new feed URL, owner, subtitle, and summary. Now, I have looked at their specification and they say, well, if they don't get their own iTunes author, then they're going to use the author as defined here, or this field as defined there. And to be honest, I've gone through a few of these and there are a few things like the explicit tag. I don't even think that's needed because RSS had support for an original, their own rating scheme. The duration one, yeah, I can see how that might be handy. But everything else pretty much could be covered by the RSS 2.0 specification if you wanted to. But anyway, we live in a world where apparently loads of people have iTunes and... Okay, fine. So there is, so what I've put in there is the iTunes subtitle, which is, quote, a daily show hosted the community. I have to fix that. What I meant to say was a daily show hosted by the community on topics that are of interest to hackers. And then I close that tag. And then we have the description, which is coming from the RSS 2.0 feed. Specification, and that is Hacker Public Radio is a podcast that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Our shows are produced by the community and can be on any topic that are of interest to hackers. So that is pretty much self-explanatory. Then we have the language, which is EN-US, which I also think is self-explanatory. And then we have a section which is the iTunes categories. Now, iTunes have since we started this feed, changed the category structure, limiting it quite a lot, actually. But there you go. So the categories that I, in my infinite wisdom, have decided that HBR falls into is technology, tech news, and education training. Now, please, please, please feel free to go to the link in the show notes, especially the one about the iTunes specification. And at the very bottom, it gives you a list of categories. And to be honest, I think HBR has had a show that has fallen into every single one of those categories. But unfortunately, the category is only on the channel part. So how this specification works is there's the channel bit, and then you have items. So we're still in the channel part, which describes Hacker Public Radio itself, and the items are the shows themselves. So what I wanted to do was, I would have liked to have like categories under each show that host could decide on their own, but they can't, obviously. So, and then the iTunes image, and we have a link to hpr_feed.png, which is the big logo. And if anybody knows who's done that logo, can you please get back to me, because I really think it's a cool logo, and I'd like to get the source files for that. Okay, and then we have the iTunes explicit tag, which is set to yes, because you can't, conceivably think of any reason. I know some people, let's not go into it, but it is, some people have shows that might be considered by others to be explicit, and vice versa. I mean, to be on the safe side, if Apple in their infinite wisdom, if you set that to no, and Apple in their infinite wisdom decide that no, it is explicit, then you're going to get in trouble. So, and then knock your feed out. Anyway, keywords, community radio, tech interviews, Linux, Python, software freedom. And I kind of came up with these. I did a sort on all the words that were used in the entire feed. And that's kind of what floated to the top, aside from Klaatu, for some reason. And that's the end of that was an iTunes keyword. And then we have the copyright section, which defines the copyright, which is Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. And then we have Managing Editor, which there has been in the recommendations, there has been recommendations about what that should be or not. But for our purposes, it's kind of, I put it to feedback@nospam-hackerpublicradio.org, and then in brackets HBR feedback. And then we have iTunes owner, where iTunes have their own format. Rather than reusing that, they have iTunes owner, which then has additional elements: iTunes name, which is HPR webmaster, iTunes email, admin@hackerpublicradio.org, and then close the tag. And then we have the same information again in the webmaster tag, which is coming from the RSS 2.0 specification, and that's admin@nospam.hackerpublicradio.org, and in brackets HPR webmaster. And the idea here is that the feedback and the admin go to the same people, but in the fullness of time, perhaps that might change. And as I say, this whole section that we're talking about here is still about Hacker Public Radio as the umbrella organization, as opposed to the individual shows. So then we have the pub date, which is in this, don't get me started on pub dates, to be on date formats. This is, this format is in the RFC 822 specification, which has the day of the week, three letters, comma, space, the digit of the month, space, three letter month, space, the year, space, the hours, minutes, seconds, separated by colon, space, and then the time zone. Personally, I think that's... I won't go into it. I've just this thing about dates. and their specification. Because if this was, if this was in French, for instance, that wouldn't make any sense. Because Friday, no Friday from bananas, or November from whatever. I personally think dates should always be year, month, day, hours, minutes, second, microseconds, and then time zone. But that's my thing. Okay. And the generator is VI. In this case, I might change that. And that is just a tag to say what application was used to generate this feed. And then we have the tag docs, which refers back to the RSS board and gives a list of the specifications, so that later down the line, if somebody else wants to see, oh, where do I get the specification for this feed, they can open up that link, and then they will be given access to the specification for that file, so therefore they can write their own reader, which is kind of cool. Now, I put in a few things here for caching networks, and I know in the recommendations they say they don't really work, but why not? Why not put them in? I put the time to live to 3,200 seconds, which is approximately 12 hours, I think. So that, although it doesn't work, it does tell cache networks that, when you're, when this was generated last, whether they need to, how long they need to keep it in the cache before checking again. And that's the importance of pub date as well, which I didn't kind of go into. It was the publication date of this feed. So if this feed, in our case, is only generated once a day, then a cache network can go, okay, well, this is only fed once a day. It's been published there at midnight, so I'll grab that feed and I won't check again for another 12 hours. So then, yeah, less bandwidth used by everybody and everybody's happy. And I'm also using the tag skip days, which is day Saturday and day Sunday, because we don't produce shows on Saturday and Sunday, so we're telling these networks that they can skip those days. And then we have the image, which has the URL of the small image, and the title is Hacker Public Radio, and we have the link for the image, which will link to about.php. And then we have the description, which is the Hacker Public Radio all microphone logo. And the thing we do is specify the height and width on the image. So that whole section has been about Hacker Public Radio, the network. And then we will have 610 by the time you hear this, or more actually, by the time you hear this, item sections in the main feed. Right now, this XML file has been carefully molested by myself, and so it's not going to change. So if you are testing this field, pop it into your application that you use to download podcasts, kind of Bashpotter. I've checked it on Bashpotter, so I know it works there. And then see if stuff works, and I'd appreciate your feedback. And yeah, that would be great on that. Then we go into the item sections, and the item sections will be one for each different episode that we produce. And in the item section, we have the title, which is episode number, colon, whatever, how I found Linux, which happens to be the one that I'm using here. Now, I want to make a change here. So rather than the link, then we have a link section for the item, which is if the pod reader supports it, and the podcatcher supports it, then there will be a link on that episode itself. So what I want that link to do is to go back to the correspondence page, so the host's page of all their shows that they've done, and they will be listed there in that, because this section is about the host, whereas the other section is about HPR. You kind of get my drift? So if your pod reader supports Hacker Public Radio, the link will go for Hacker Public Radio there. But when you click on your section about this item, then you click on that, you get to the correspondence page. So kind of that's where I'm going with that whole concept there. And then we have the description. Now, this is interesting, right? And this prompted me to, was an email by on the HPR mailing list that names will be changed to protect the innocent. So, saying that the links didn't work. So you know, links to if you want to get the OGG version, click here was actually said. And if you go to the website, then when you clicked here, you were redirected to where the OGG version was. However, that's stripped out in the feed that we currently have. So after doing some investigation, I realized that the only place in the whole thing, in the whole RSS feed, where you're allowed to have HTML encoding is in the description field of the item tag. So not in the description field of any of the section above that describing HBR section. The only one is in the title description. Otherwise it'll fail. And not only are you allowed to, it has to be escaped HTML. So instead of the greater than sign, it has to be ampersand GT, ampersand SP, ampersand quote, semicolon, you know, that sort of stuff. So which isn't the end of the world. But what it does mean actually is that now your show notes can contain HTML, which might be nice. But that said, I don't want people going nuts on it because I will have to check it. I don't want cross-site scripting or something coming in. So we'll try and keep it simple to, you know, bold, strong emphasis, you know, bold, italic links, lists, that sort of thing. You know, the basic HTML for beginners type stuff. And so that's about that, but I'll talk probably more on HBR news about show notes later on. Then we have the iTunes summary tag, and then that will be the name How I Found Linux, short podcast on How I Found Linux, and then the author here. And this will be the email address of the author who has generated this here with the word no spam dash in the middle. And that is, I'm not sure if that's required or not. And then we have the comments, which will redirect to the comment page for this episode, which is also a new addition. And then we have the pub date, which is going to be the same as the pub date for the main feed. But obviously that will stay fixed, whereas the pub date for the main feed will change from day to day to day to day. And that is also used by caching networks to see whether this is a new show or whatever. Then we come to one of the most useful iTunes ones, which is iTunes duration. And that is something that I can get when I'm uploading the shows. I can run a program, I think Socks support it, or FFmpeg, we'll see, to get the duration of the podcast, which is kind of nice because it'd be nice to have something on the main page, you know, now over 200 hours of programming, you know, that'd be kind of cool. And also so that people will know how long the shows are. And then we have the iTunes explicit yes tag. I'm not sure if, you know, maybe later on down the road we'll have that, you know, optional for a particular show, but as I don't use iTunes, I don't think, you know, if that's going to change, that will be on feedback from somebody else. So there we go. And then we get to the meat and potatoes, which is the enclosure space URL. And this is the actual thing that points to the media that's coming down. And it is http://happycorepublicradio/eps. And in this case, it's test.mp3. But in the case of this being an automatic feed, it will be the show itself with the length, which is the file size of the show. It's a bit confusing that length there. One would have thought that it was the length of time of the show, but anyway, it's the file size. And then we have the type, which is audio/MPEG. And then we get to the GUID, which is a global unique identifier, which in our case is hpr://hackerpublicradio.org/test.mp3, but that could be anything. A pod reader is only supposed to refer to that as a string of characters that is unique, so, but it makes sense for us to use it because they cycle up. And then we would have the end of that item, and then we'd have the next item and the next one and the next one and the next one, and then we'd have the channel. And then the end of the channel and the end of the RSS feed, and that's it. So basically, what I want you to do is stop listening to this episode now, copy in to your podcast reader, hackerpublicradio.org/test.xml. See if on the Hacker Public Radio section that you're redirected to about, see that, see if you get a logo. See if you can see all the keywords and stuff that I've said. See if the emails pop up, if they all work, what emails you do have. Make note of things that you can do and things that you can't do. See if the HTML works on the episode itself. See if you're brought to the correct correspondence page when you click on the link. See if you are able to put in a comment and that you're brought to the correspondence comments page. And of course, make sure that the audio plays. It's the episode that I've attached on here is actually episode one of HPR. So have a listen to that as well. As I say, this feed will not be changing, and it's not going to be staying alive for very long. So if you're listening to this show in 20 years, well, welcome back. Welcome to the future. So there you are. And then if you could, you know, have a look, make screenshots of whatever, take a photo of stuff if it doesn't make sense. And if you could get back to me if you run into any problems, and if you could get back to me even if you don't run into any problems, the feedback is admin@hackerpublicradio.org. Or better yet, if you could, and I think everybody should do this, if you could be so good as to nip over to Hacker Public Radio, and under the contact page, you'll see a section called mail list. If you could click that link, which is http://hackerpublicradio.org, mailman/listinfo/hpr_hackerpublicradio.org, then you will be brought to a page where you can join the mailing list. And don't be afraid, it's just a list of other people who listen to this network, and if you could pop in your feedback there, that would be great. Okay, that's going to do it. I'm going to do nothing more with this episode than slap on the intro and the outro, and that should be that. I hope you have a nice day, and I look forward to your feedback. Thank you very much.